heads and everything. Like one church, a guy got real excited and he jumped up and said, "Amen!" And one old deacon turned around and said, "You be quiet, what's wrong with you?" And he said, "I got religion." And the deacon said, "Well, you didn't get it in here, be quiet." And that's about the way it is in a lot of churches. You ain't going to get it there. And you ought to thank God for a church where you can come in and feel something. You ought to thank God for a church where you can come in here and feel the liberty to raise your hand and wave your hand and say amen without somebody looking at you like you fell out of a tree somewhere or, you know, escaped from an insane asylum somewhere. That's the way they worship God in the Bible. If you go to a church where people don't raise their hands and say amen and fall down on their face and worship God, you go to a weird church. I tell you right now, according to the Bible, that's the way they worship God in the Bible. You're the weirdos, not us. And so I want you to just let the Lord have His way in your heart and get in on this thing tonight. Let the Lord help you. Matthew chapter number 9. I'm going to read you some scripture here in verse number 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Are you cool enough in here? Cool enough down there? It's warmer up here. Okay, we'll just leave it running for a little bit. I hope everybody can hear. I'm sorry about this sound, y'all. It's aggravating to me as it is you. But just if you'll suffer with us a few more Sundays, hopefully we might have something up there that'll catch some of it. And just bouncing around right now. What I want to do tonight is bring you just a little message to prepare our church for the 6 weeks of fall Sunday school program and also challenge us and get us ready for the camp meeting. That's the purpose of this message. And I guess the title of the message would be Pray the Lord of the Harvest, that He'll send forth laborers into His harvest. Laborers in the harvest or something like that, whatever you want to write. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." Boy, what a great verse of scripture. Here the Lord is encouraging His disciples to pray that God will send laborers into the harvest. The Lord said, when I look out there over them big multitudes of people out in sin, He said, it's just like looking out a big crop of wheat that needs to be harvested. The harvest is great. He said, when I look out and I see all the lost people in the world, people that are lost without God, He said, it's just like a field of corn or wheat that is ready to be harvested. And He said, what I want you to do is pray that the Lord will send laborers in there, somebody to go in there and harvest this great crop that's come to harvest time. Now, you know the reason a lot of people won't pray that prayer? You know why the Lord told them to pray that prayer? You know why a lot of people won't get down and say, "God, please send people out into the harvest"? You know why, don't you? You know why most people will not get down and pray, "God, please send a lot of people out to go visiting this week"? You know why you won't pray that, don't you? Who in here was afraid to pray that prayer? Don't raise your hand. I can tell you who is and who ain't. I tell you the people in here that won't pray. I can lay my hands on y'all right now that will not pray, "God, send a big crowd to go visiting this week." You won't pray that, because you know as soon as you do, the Holy Ghost says, "Okay, you're going to start." Pray the Lord. "Lord, send the missionaries." You start praying like that, guess who's going to be a missionary? You is. Man, you were shouting a while ago. Were you just shouting in the flesh or emotional, or you really believe all this stuff? You don't just quit right now. I'm in a good mood to quit. I can just quit right now and go on up there and eat cake. I ain't going. Let's go. Come on. I'm not in the mood to preach no way. Let's go eat cake. I'm chicken to do that. I'm going to fool you one of these days. I am. I'm going to go out and get drunk. No, I ain't. I'd do it to you if I wasn't afraid the Lord would kill me. Now, are you going to just shout and say hallelujah and amen, boy? I'll leave it all behind. Or are you going to, you know, get with the program, man? Didn't the Lord say pray? I mean, let's get honest now. The Lord said pray. You say, oh, no, here it comes. You put up with all my sermons that you like for 6 months, for this every 6 month one on getting out there and doing something, don't you? That's a good enough deal. But I want you to know something. Lord said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. I'm telling you, man, there's enough Baptist, Lord of mercy, to do anything if they'd get on the ball and do it. One guy got in jail and he said, he called a preacher. And he said, preacher, you ain't got a thing to worry about. He said, we done took a survey in here and there's more Baptists than there are anything. We're in the majority in here. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that a bit. But let's think tonight just for a few minutes. And let's think just quickly. I'm not going to preach long tonight. I want you to listen carefully and you hear what I'm getting ready to say. If you lined up all the lost people in the world, single file, beginning at your front door, the line would reach around the world 30 times. That line grows 20 miles a day. If you drove past all these lost people going to hell at 50 miles an hour, 10 hours a day, it would take 4 years and 40 days to drive past all of them. And by then, the line will have grown another several thousand miles. All the people that's going to hell in this world, if you drove past them, it'd take you 4 years, 10 hours a day to drive past them. I have you to know, ladies and gentlemen, before me and you got saved, we were on our way to hell. To hell, to burn forever and ever and ever. Somebody cared enough about us to preach to us, get us to a revival meeting, pray for us, witness to us, come to our house, give us a track, and now we are in the shoes of the missionary. Are we going to do anything about it? We have an opportunity coming up here in the next few weeks to really see something happen for God. We are found to find another. We are told to tell another. We are won to win another. We are saved to save another. It's final proof of your own salvation. I remember reading a little story about a little boy who was, they called him Little Johnny. And they brought Little Johnny to Sunday school. And he was mean and he'd throw things and tear things up and you know, kick the teacher in the leg or something like that. And he was from a poor side of town. Finally, one of the influential people in the church come and they told these people, they said, you quit bringing that kid. I don't want that kid back in this church. If that kid's back, we're not coming back. And he said, we don't want this kid back in our church. Well, because of the pressure that was put on them, they did not bring Little Johnny back to church. Little Johnny grew up. He became a gangster. He became one of the most wicked men in American history. His name, John Dillinger. John Dillinger's life could have been and would have been, no doubt, a lot different if they'd have kept bringing him to Sunday school. We have an opportunity to do something for God like no other generation has ever had in history. We're living in the most wicked time that the world has ever seen. What a time, people. What an opportunity. You know why I believe the devil fights us so much in our church? You know why I believe he fights us? Because he knows that we are sitting right here in an atmosphere. We are sitting right here that has the potential to shake this county and this part of the country for God's glory. It's sitting right here in this room. And don't you think the devil don't know that? And buddy, you know what he does? The devil has like this little fire department. And he zips around, zips around, zips around. You know, the devil can only be at one place at a time. The devil's not omnipresent like God is. He can only be at one place at a time. So he just like hears the world. He goes, zip, 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 zip. He's, you know, people say the devil's been on me all day. The devil ain't been on. He's probably in Tokyo right now. Or Shanghai. Or he's probably checking my Los Angeles right now. He's not in Marin. But I tell you what, brother. I tell you what the devil's got. The devil has multiplied millions of demons that do his work. And these demons, according to the book of Daniel, are over certain provinces or certain areas of land. It'd be like the devil has a demon that's over McDowell County. Several of them. Let's say the devil has demons that's over McDowell County. Let's say that tonight. And the devil has it once in a while, and the devil meets with them. Well, how's it going in this county? How's it going in Swain County? How's it going in Buckham County? How's it going in Ashe County? How's it going down there in Raleigh? How's it going down there? Once in a while, McDowell demons come in. How's it going down there, McDowell? Well, everything's going pretty good, sir. We got all the Christians a-fussing and a-fighting. And most churches never see anybody get saved. And the devil's going, yep, that's good, that's good. Amen. I don't know if he says amen. He says, that's good. That's right. Keep up the good work, boys. You're doing a fine job. I want you to just keep it up. And they say, but there's one thing that's kind of bothering me down there. Said, you know that little big mouth guy? You know who he is. And the devil says, yes, I know him. Don't speak his name in here. And they said, well, he's down there telling them people about something about this 6-week stuff they're going to try to do. And you know that, church. And you know, we've tried this and it didn't work. And we tried that and it didn't work. And we tried that and it didn't work. And we tried to split it and that didn't work. And we tried to kill him and that didn't work. And we tried to discourage him and that's working. And we tried to do that and it didn't work. And tried to, y'all better listen, you better have mercy on me. And we tried to do that and it didn't work. And we tried to do that and it didn't work. And we tried to do that and it didn't work. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the devil says, I'll tell you what you do. You get down there and you make them people get mad at each other. You stir up hard feelings. You cause trouble in that school. You cause them to get mad at the teachers. You cause them to get mad at the ladies in the choir. You let somebody hit somebody's car in the parking lot. Stop that bunch of nuts down there or they're liable to cause us major problem. And you know what the devil's trying to do down here? He's trying to stop everything that we want to do for God. He does not want you to do nothing. But the words of Jesus come through loud and clear. The Lord of the harvest said, go into the harvest. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's men out there in Marion tonight, and West Marion, East Marion, and Nebo, and Glenwood, and PG, and North Cove, and Dysartsville down yonder that are on their way to hell. They have alcohol in their bodies. Their life is wrecked. Their life is ruined. They're sitting where some of you sat several years ago. And by the grace of God, let's determine in our hearts in these next few weeks that we're going to make an effort by the grace of God to take this gospel and give it to them. Listen, if you wait till everything is rosy before you ever go out on witness, you'll never go. If you wait till you feel like it, you'll never go. If you wait till you feel led, you'll go about 5 times every 10 years. I know that because I know the people believe like that, and I know how much they visit. Say amen. I'm telling you what, brother, there ain't no double standards here when it comes to this thing. I know that a lot of people say, well, that's a preacher's job. No, there ain't no double standards. That ain't what God said. A lot of people believe that God wants the preacher to do certain things, but he don't want them to do nothing. One deacon called up, he's about celebrating Christmas, and he's going to call and order him some liquor, and he by accident dialed the pastor's phone. And the pastor answered the phone. The deacon said, yeah, I'm over here at such and such. Could you send me over some scotch and a fifth of whiskey? And the pastor on the other end recognized the deacon's voice. And he said, deacon, this is the pastor. And the deacon said, pastor, what are you doing in the liquor store? Yeah, that's church members for you. Hey, some of you would die if you seen me doing some of the things you do. It'd be awful sin for me, wouldn't it? It's all right for you. You don't come to church on Wednesday night, that's no problem, right? Let Brother Danny miss one time. You know, and see what happened. I'm going to tell you what, brother, there are no double standards here. We have, you say, oh, that's what you're getting paid for. No, that is a challenge before God from His Word that we'll go into the harvest and reap the harvest. Amen. pray. You know why let's pray? Because if you pray, you'll go. If you pray right, you'll go. These ladies out there praying in that prayer class taught by Sister Parker, if you ladies pray right, it won't be long till you'll be visiting. And if you ain't visiting, don't tell me you're praying right, because I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I believe if you pray and get a hold of God, you're going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Every time in the Bible, I can prove you that in the Bible. All the way through the Word of God, they did that. Amen? I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we need to make up our mind. We're going to go in the harvest. In the harvest. Amen. That's right. We need to go. I'm not talking about just getting people baptized. I'm talking about getting them saved. I'm talking about one that'll make you quit lying, quit drinking, quit cussing, quit all that, getting saved. Baptized don't do just that. Being baptized don't do nothing to make you wet. Heard about this one guy. He baptized this guy. He'd been real wicked. And he put him down in the water. Water's cold as ice in January out in the river. And he brought him back up, and the preacher said, "Is water cold?" And he said, "Nah." Somebody hollered out, "Dunk him again, preacher. He ain't quit lying yet." Do you know that? Baptism won't even make you quit lying. One little boy said, they asked him, "What's a lie?" He said, "It's abomination to the Lord, but a very present help in a time of need." And that's where a lot of people look at. Listen, buddy, old time religion will make you quit lying. Ain't that right? Sure will make you quit lying. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to make up our mind that we're going to go. That we're going to go. That we're going to go and go and go and go. You know what? It'll make church services interesting. You know how to make church services interesting? Go out and try to get some sinner to come. The other day, I seen two. I don't know what they was. I reckon they was women. They looked like women. Looked like females. Walking up the street out here holding hands. In Myron. Walking up the street holding hands like that. And I'd run in here for choir practice and I said, "Hey boys, there's two California lesbians walking up the street. Go get them." And these boys took off out there on the street and got them, tried to witness to them. Sure enough, I don't know if they're from California, but they're from somewhere off of me. You tell it wasn't around here just by looking at them. But listen, those people's got a soul, man. Somebody needs to care about them. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's abomination to God for us to go out and turn our nose up and say, "Oh, those wicked sinners," and not do nothing to try to reach them.
Right,
if it wasn't for the grace of God, that'd be me and you out there. We could be out there in a gutter somewhere shooting drugs up our arm. There's this guy laying up there on the, this house right up the street here, the one that's abandoned on the right there past the red light. I was going up through there the other day, and these girls looked like girls was walking up through there. And I stopped up there at the store, and they come up there and they said, sir, there's a man laying down there." I said, they thought he was dead. They said, "There's a man laying down there. Will you go?" And they said, "We're scared. We're going to call 911. I said, "Oh, wait a minute. I'll go down there and see if he's dead." And so I turned around and come back down here, and I went across. Sure enough, on the porch there, that old abandoned house, there's a man laying there, just laying there, and his glasses laying about that far from him. He's just laying there like that. And I come up on the porch and just looked at him. I'm going to try to see if he's breathing. So I was going to see if he's breathing before I messed with him or anything. I hate to just touch a dead person, man. And I thought, well, I'm going to see if he's dead. And I said, hey. And he kind of went, looked up at me like that. He's just passed out drunk. And you know what? I said, "Hey, are you all right?" And he looked up at me. And he said, "Yeah, I'm all right." He laid down his arm like that. And he looked miserable, man. He looked miserable. And I said, "Well, I'm just checking on you. I just want to see if he's all right." And I said, "Jesus loves you," something like that. And I said, "Well, I'll see you later." And he said, "Thanks for stopping in." And I just went, that's weird. But you know what? There's all kinds of people out there. I don't know whether he thought he was running a grocery store or what. There's people out there need help. Now, you know, that's funny, but what if that's your daddy, man? What if that's your daddy laying up there like that? Well, is somebody stealing his money and him laying over there on the railroad or in the kudzu vine all night long, like old Tater used to? Hey, I bet you're glad somebody put up the tent, ain't you, Tate? I bet you're glad somebody cared enough to have a revival meeting. I bet you're glad some preacher got a hold of God and prayed and preached a message. I bet you're glad somebody cared about you. He's going to heaven now and not hell. Somebody prayed and went into the harvest. And Tatergus, you say that was years ago. God's still God now. He can still do it today. Amen. You know what it'll do? It'll make church services interesting. If you bring lost people to church, you've got something to do the whole service. You heard me tell the same story before, just pray that he'll get it this time. Amen? Amen. People's future at stake. I'll never forget when we first started our church many years ago, there's a lady I run into uptown. She said, Danny, she said, I've been praying for something to reach my boys. She said, I believe your church is the answer for my boys. You know where we ought to go? Everywhere. There's no such place as a bad place for witnessing. Amen? There ain't no such place as a bad place to witness. No such place. Grocery store. On the job. God's put some of you people in these factories. Lord, I ran into a boy yesterday at Walmart. And he was talking to me about how wicked and ungodly these plants are around here. One in particular, up that way. But I mean, tell you what, son. He said that was the most ungodly place. He said it was so wicked. I mean, I feel sorry for you people. You're like going into a mission field every day you go into that place. And God's put some of you on a field of a mission field to go in there and be a witness at these places. Well, some of you, Lord, in mercy, down here, Cross Mill, I think they're not there no more. Down here at Galen, Lord, Southern Divorces. All these places like that, nothing but a bunch of sin, man. That's the only thing that's going to save them is somebody witnessing to them about Jesus. Somebody witnessing to them about Jesus. I'll never forget. Never forget some of you in here getting saved. I'll never forget kneeling with Brother Wiley back there down in his living room. You remember that night, Brother Wiley? After church on Sunday night. I went down there and showed him how to get saved. Me and him knelt down in the living room floor. Now he's going to heaven, not hell. Never forget seeing Brother Mike Boone. Brother Mike, I didn't even know this, so Brother Mike give his testimony, but I give him a track in an airport in Atlanta. And I don't even remember it, didn't even know it. He come back up here and Mary and got saved. Raise your hand back there, Brother Mike. In Atlanta, man, in the airport. I'll never forget Brother Dickie getting saved back there one night on visitation. I'll never forget Brother Boyce coming for many, 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 many weeks. He came, a long time before he got saved. I'll never forget some of these young people in here getting right with God. I'll never forget the first time I seen Danny Tucker. Picked him up hitchhiking out here. You think he's ugly now? You should have seen him in. Him and Kelly come and heard me preach. She had on old blue jeans. They'd sit back there. Hippies, man. And I remember, that first thing you know, we just started hanging around with them, having Bible studies. I'll never forget the Sunday morning, Brother Mike McDaniel walked out and shook my hand and said, I got right and got saved that Sunday morning up there in the old building. Never forget this morning, Big Ray come in over there, and I think Brother Danny took him in my office, and he got saved over in my office. Now what am I saying? I'm saying, people, are you listening? There's another Big Ray out there somewhere. There's another Brother Danny standing out there in front of the little buck. There's another Brother Dickie sitting out there in his home on Thursday night wanting somebody to tell him how to get saved. It's Monday night for him. Right, listen, there's another Brother Boyce out there cutting logs somewhere. We're saved. Now let's do something and take our religion out of here and do something with it. I'll be honest with you. I am just not that impressed with these people that can just tear the house up at church and love God and know the Bible backwards and forwards but never mention nothing to a sinner out there. I'm sorry. I'm just not that impressed. And the Lord is not either. We have got to take the message out. We've got to. There's a world dying without God going to hell. There's old folks in these rest homes. Brother Gordon, where you at? That he goes and talks to them and tells them about the Lord and had several of them saved in the rest home. Listen, you know why? Just because he cares and because God will honor his word. What are we going to do? Here's what I want to challenge you to do. Tonight. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm going to challenge you. First of all, I want to say this. This has been on my heart for quite some time. We got a lot of young preachers here in our church, and I thank God for them. And you know what? I'd like to challenge you, young preacher. You're always supposed to pray for God's will to be done in your life. And I think you ought to talk to God and pray about that all the time. I think you ought to talk to your pastor, if it's me, to whoever, before you make any major decision, things like that. Do you know what? I'm convinced in my soul. And listen, I've been doing this a long time now. And I used to didn't think this, but I believe it now. I believe it now. I've watched this thing over the years. And I've seen a lot of young preachers come up. And boy, they want to preach so bad they can't stand it. They say, man, I want to be the preacher. I want to be a pastor. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I go off maybe and get them a little building and start a church and something like that. And you admire their zeal. You admire their enthusiasm. You admire their desire to do something for God. But it just don't work. Then they try something else and it just don't work. And then try something else and it just don't. And it's very evident. It's evident that God is not putting them in that position. I'm not saying they're not right. I'm not saying God. I'm just saying they're missing it somewhere. They're missing it somewhere. And a lot of times they have this desire, I want to be in the spotlight. I want to be the boss. I want to kind of run the show, so to speak, you know. And because of that, go out. And I believe that most of them guys would do a greater work for God to get in a church that's doing something for God and back up that work and be a part of that work and work inside that work. Now, you can believe what you want to. I've watched that thing for over 20 years. And 20 years, I've seen it over and over and over. I've seen them preachers drag their wives out and their wives get discouraged because they don't have nobody to fellowship with and they don't have no food and the church is dead. It's 4 o'clock. And them tried over and over and over and over when they should have said, like Brother Bruce here, you know what Brother Bruce has done? Brother Bruce could be pastoring a church somewhere right now. I have no idea where, but I'm just saying that. He could probably be pastoring a church somewhere right now. I'm sure there'd be churches that would love to have somebody like him. I wish to the Lord they would. But anyway, I'm sure there's somebody that would enjoy, want him to be their pastor. I'm sure they are. But I tell you what, Brother Bruce has decided, hey, he's reaching more souls and doing a greater work for God than most pastors that I know of. And I believe, you know, when you get a hold of something like this right here, and God gets a hold of something like what we have here at our church, you know what we need? We need some of you young men that'll say, hey, God, I know what God's called me to do. God's called me to stay here, work in this church, see this work grow, work in the different facets and different best ministry, the school, all these things. This is what God's called me to do. God don't call everybody out to do something else. We need some people that's willing to do that. That's been on my heart for about a month to say that. And I know some of you will take it wrong and criticize me, but it's been on my heart for a month to say that. And so here's what I want you to do. I'd like for everybody that will to say, hey, I ain't much. I'm not a great soul winner. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher, singer, anything like that. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can give out a tract. I can give out one of these things and invite somebody to Sunday school. I can call my neighbor. I'd like for everybody in here. Remember what I mentioned a couple weeks ago? The Lord usually lays something on my heart, especially every time we have something like this. And here's what I feel like this time. And I ain't saying this, God told me this, but I, the best of my ability, I feel like that's what He'd have us to do. I think it would be a wonderful thing if everybody in here, I'm talking about you men that come up here and work on the church. I'm talking about you teachers that teach out there in the school. I'm talking about you teenagers. I'm talking about you guys that sit back in there that just kind of come and sit. I'm talking about every one of you. I'm talking about you older folks. I think it'd be a great thing if everyone, I'm talking about you visitors, at least one Saturday during this 6 weeks would say, hey, I'm going to come up here. I'm going to go out with one of these bus workers and I'm going to go out in the harvest and I'm going to see what's going on. That's a challenge I want to put to you tonight. Now, you want a preacher to challenge you. I just challenged you. People say, boy, I want to hear so-and-so preach. He really challenges me. Okay, I just challenged you. Now, let's turn it the other way around. If you said, Brother Danny, I've got some things at my house need to be done in the next 6 weeks. Is there any way you could come over and help me one Saturday morning? I could look at my calendar and I could find one Saturday morning that I could come over and give you 2 or 3 hours. I promise you I could. And if you ask anybody in here, ask me that sincerely, I'd do it. but don't. And what I'm doing to you tonight is I'm asking you. Make up your mind. How about this? Visit for 4-5 out of 6 Thursdays. One of those will be having camp meeting. You see, when we're having something special at church, that's a good time to get something going, man. That's a good time to spark it off. I've seen it over and over and over. And the fall of the year is the best time of the year. I don't know why. People's broke. Well, I don't understand why. It's the easiest time of year to get people to come to church right now. The laborers are few. Jesus even said that in his day. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. I've never been to a church yet that that statement wasn't true of. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. Few. If you took the percentage of people that actually witness out of our churches in McDowell County outside of church, get on the ball and do something. Okay. I'm going to stop. I've issued you the challenge. And you do what you want to about it. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You don't have to come forward. You can if you want to. You pray right there at your seat. I'm challenging our men tonight. Men, you say, well, I'm just not inclined that way. I don't care if you're inclined that way or not. I'm challenging you to do what the Bible says. The Lord of the harvest. Challenging you young preachers. God ain't going to use you like He wants to use you if the only time you talk about Him is in church. I'm challenging you ladies. We need some ladies who will set some examples around here for these young girls coming up that want to do something for God. You know what some of you kids, you know what some of you teenagers' problem is? All you want to do is have fun. That's all you want to do. Fun, fun. It's fun. That's fun. That's fun. There ain't nothing wrong with having some fun, man, but there's more important things in life. Like your family and your friends and your neighbors and where they're going when they leave here. We better get concerned. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth laborers. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd burden our church. I pray that You'd put us right in the center of Your will. I pray, oh God, that You might bless this invitation. Help us not just to have thunder and wind. Lord, give us some rain. Change the hearts of people. In Your blessed name we pray. Amen. What?